Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of September 2015. It's the 30th anniversary of Farm Aid. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll also take a look at yesterday's crop progress reports from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. And we'll get an update on the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, and Dan O'Brien will be here from K-State to talk about ethanol margins and ethanol plants. It all comes up on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. December contract in the corn pit was down 4 cents today at $3.80 and a half. March at $3.92 and a quarter, 3 3/4 lower. In the May at $3.99 and a half, down 4 cents. July corn at $4.04 and 3/4, down 4 1/4 for the day. And December of next year at $4.04 and 3/4 as well, down 4 3/4. Soy complex, November beans 12 1/2 cents lower at $8.61 and 3/4. January at $8.66 and a half, down 12 1/4. The March down 11 1/4 at $8.71, and May futures down 10 3/4 at $8.74 1/4. July contract down 10 1/2. Next year's November down 9 3/4. It settled at $8.68 1/4. Bean meal down $4.70 at $3.04.90. And the bean oil for the day at $26.13, 37 cents lower. Wheat futures December contract down $0.01 1/4 for the soft red lead option at $4.95 1/2. That's the December contract. July at $5.11 1/2, down $0.01 1/4. Hard red December down 2 1/2 cents at $4.88. July at $5.22. down 2 1/4 as well. Live cattle futures from Chicago. October contract now trading at $136 and a nickel, 95 cents lower. December currently down $0.02 1/2 cents at $138.72 1/2. September feeders are up $1.27 1/2 at $195.97 1/2, but the Octobers are 37 1/2 lower, and the feeder cattle at $187.30. Lean hogs for the afternoon down 57 1/2 cents at $71 and a nickel in the October. December at $64.82 1/2 for 100 pounds. Finished 15 cents lower. This is the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Crude oil at this time is trading 51 cents lower per barrel. That's at $46.17. Ethanol futures on a gallon at $1.55 and 9 cents, 0.8 of a cent lower. Gasoline for the RBOB price at $1.41 and 6 cents. That's down $0.01, or rather up $0.03. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.52 and 8 cents, 1 4/10 of a cent higher for the day. Natural gas at $2.58, up 0.7 of a cent. That's actually the M&E natural gas. The regular natural gas is at $2.58 and 2 cents, and that's up 0.9 of a cent. Here's what the outside markets show us for the Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour. At 16,184, 272 points lower. The dollar up 0.411 at 96.445. And the gold futures on the day are currently trading at $1,124.75 per troy ounce. They're down $8.35. The weather forecast for the rest of the afternoon says sunny skies in 81, clear tonight in 52. Sunny tomorrow in 81, clear on Wednesday evening in 55. Sunny on Thursday in 82. Thursday night, clear in 56. Friday, sunny in 81. Friday night, partly cloudy by then, 57 degrees, but no worries. Saturday will bring us mostly sunny skies and 79 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 57. On Sunday, mostly sunny to start the week and 79 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 57. And Monday, we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high near 82 degrees.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. This is the Tuesday, September 22nd edition. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the marketplace, the grains, the oil seeds, and what's been happening around the planet. Thanks so much, Wayne, for being with us. Is it me, or did the trade just become a little lackluster on the day? I suspect it was not very heavy, because between the time we talked this morning and the time we talked this afternoon, it appears not much changed.
It was a double D day, Todd. That's down and dull.
Well, that doesn't leave us a lot to talk about, I would think, for the afternoon, other than anything you've been hearing from farmers in the field. I suspect they're starting to really get back in action after a couple of days. Some rainfall in our part of the world. What have they been telling you about the harvest season?
You know, the beans, I think, are a little bit better in more cases than not than their expectations. Does that mean they were great? No, probably not anything close to last year. But they are probably 5 to 10 bushels better than what they were expecting as we started out. So that's one of the reasons the beans have been under pressure here. That and also the Brazilian real pushes to, decade lows. It's just about 4-1 with the dollar here now. And, they were... they're able to sell their beans a lot cheaper into the world market that way. So that's one of the big things that's hurting the U.S. and the bean market here right now. And, today the old low settlement was 864, and we closed below that today. So this is the lowest settlement we've had on November beans.
This is not a good sign. Over time, do you think we can slip even further? And I would guess that depends a great deal on what the Brazilian and Argentine farmers do with their coming soybean crop. Because if they're that cheap, they certainly will compete on the world market.
Yeah, they will, Todd. And, we're seeing a very aggressive, wanting to buy cash beans from the farmer from a lot of the commercials here right now. The basis levels aren't great, but they're a lot better than they would be generally on a record crop out there. So they are wanting to get their hands on some beans. And if you look at history, basically even in a large harvest year, from the end of September to the end of the year, we generally appreciate from 6-9% higher prices by the end of the year. So, there is a little hope looking at these for some of the beans out there.
So technically we had a bad day for the soybeans. What about for corn?
Corn, we're still above our support here. That 75 seems to be pretty good support, and we're closing up around the 380 here. So, we just sort of took away what we added yesterday. It's still towards the lower part of its trading range, and we do look for a little support coming in here sometime. But we've got awfully good weather and harvest just starting out, to get too much of a rally really started here. We should find a little support for the beans if the Chinese do sign a big parameter contract that we realize isn't binding or whatever. It's just the promise they're going to try to buy so many beans. But that generally puts a little bottom under things as we go. But the corn, we are seeing much more varied yields, at least in parts of Illinois and Indiana, than what the beans are doing. So there's a lot of questions yet to be answered about the corn yields.
We'll try to answer them over time. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. You're listening to Public Radio for the Farming World. It's Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, the home of the very first Farm Aid concert that took place 30 years ago today.
During our breaks, this crowd is doing the wave out here. The Eli and I have really... They've really got that down, and they're screaming out in unison that 1-800 Farm Aid number.
800 Farm Aid.
First Farm Aid was the largest by far, more than 80,000 people in attendance and or working the Farm Aid right here in Urbana-Champaign, including a bunch of folks that you might remember over time. Adam Nielsen was there. He's with Illinois Farm Bureau at this point.
The rain has stopped, and the people are fired up. I'm Adam Nielsen with the 107 Farm Aid Update. It's still overcast, but that hasn't kept the stars from shining. At the time,
Nielsen was the news director for the student-run radio station here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, WPGU. Now, of course, he's the director of National Legislation and Policy Development for the Illinois Farm Bureau. What you may not know about that first Farm Aid concert is that it was put together in 1 month, and it's because Willie Nelson, and if you recall, the governor of the state of Illinois at the time, Big Jim Thompson, were golfing buddies, and it was about the state fair time, and they'd been out and decided they needed to do something to help out with the farm crisis across the Midwest. Willie Nelson wanted to step up to the plate with Farm Aid.
We did it in Champaign, Illinois, right in the Farm Belt, right where Big Jim said, let's do it. And he was right. Those people there were hurting. And they needed some attention, and they needed to know that somebody out there was thinking about them.
Over the past 30 years, Farm Aid has raised more than $48 million in what it hopes is the support of agriculture across the United States. We'll learn more about Farm Aid tomorrow on many of these radio stations. Stay with us for the second half of the program if you can. That part of the program is called Town and Country Partners and airs on the RFD network. This program comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now let's take up the crop progress report as released by USDA NASS yesterday afternoon. 94% of the corn crop across the nation has dented. 53% is mature. The normal rolling five-year average is 56%. 10% of the crop has been put into the bin or harvested at this point. And the rolling five-year average is actually 15% for the corn crop as it's been harvested. Soybeans dropping leaves estimated at 56% by NASS yesterday, and 50% is the rolling five-year average. 7% of that crop has been harvested, and that's the same as the rolling five-year average. Now here are the statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 20th, 2015. A windy, warm, and mostly dry week aided crop maturity. Statewide, there were 4.8 days suitable for field work. Field work for the week included harvesting seed corn, chopping silage, cutting hay, and reports of scattered corn for grain and soybean harvest. Farmers were also preparing farm equipment for the upcoming harvest. Reports indicated seed corn harvest was wrapping up, and corn harvested for grain has had widely varying moisture content. The past reporting week began with dry and unseasonably warm and windy weather. Daytime high temperatures were mostly in the 80s through Thursday. There were a few scattered, very light rain showers on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but no accumulations of consequence. Rain was widespread on Thursday and Friday, with rain totals of 2 inches or more common from southwest into east-central Iowa. Dry weather returned for the weekend. Temperature extremes varied from afternoon highs of 92 degrees at Burlington and Donelson on Thursday to morning lows of 39 degrees at Sibley on Saturday and 38 degrees at Elkader on Sunday. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 4.7 degrees above normal. Rain totals varied from only 0.03 inches at Little Sioux to 4.22 inches at North English. The statewide average precipitation was 1.18 inches, while normal for the week is 0.77 inches. Finally, there were also several reports of hail Thursday evening across southeastern Iowa. 95% of the corn crop was in the dense stage or beyond, with 49% mature, 5 days ahead of last year, but 5 days behind the five-year average. Corn condition rated 79% good to excellent. 83% of soybeans were starting to turn color or beyond, while 48% of soybeans were dropping leaves, 5 days ahead of 2014 and 2 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition rated 76% good to excellent. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Northern and central parts of Illinois received significant rainfall last week, while southern areas had below normal precipitation. Overall, the state average was 1.23 inches of rain, 4/10 of an inch above normal. Temperatures were also above normal all around Illinois. Corn harvest moved up 7 points to 13% complete, compared to 5% 1 year ago and 22% for the 5-year average. 78% of corn acres are mature, compared to 69% normally at this time. The condition of the corn crop declined slightly and is now rated as 16% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 30% fair, and 54% good to excellent. For soybeans, 3% of the crop is harvested compared to 4% normally at this time. 54% of acres are dropping leaves compared to 41% 1 year ago and 47% normally. 80% of soybean acres are turning color compared to 77% for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop improved slightly and is now rated as 17% in very poor to poor condition, 29% fair, and 54% in good to excellent condition. In other crops, 3% of winter wheat acres have been planted, 6% of sorghum acres are harvested, and 93% of the third cutting of alfalfa hay is now finished. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Minnesota farmers took advantage of the average 5.3 days suitable for field work during the week, with crop harvest progressing well ahead of last year for most crops. Harvest advanced for dryable beans, corn for silage, potatoes, and sugar beets. And harvest also started for corn for grain and soybeans. Farmers are also harvesting sweet corn. 41% of Minnesota's corn acreage was mature, that's 7 days ahead of last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Corn condition rated 88% good to excellent. 30% of the state's corn for silage crop was harvested during the week, reaching 67% complete. 72% of the soybean acreage was dropping leaves or beyond, that's 8 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of normal. The soybean harvest reached 12%. Soybean condition rated 78% good to excellent. Dryable bean fields were 77% harvested, that's only the third time in 20 years that three-quarters of the crop has been harvested by this date. 50% of the potato crop has been harvested, and 15% of the sugar beet crop has been lifted, the most harvested by this date during the last 50 years. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 20th, 2015. A mostly warm and dry week helped crops to dry down for harvest. Average temperatures ranged from 62 to 70 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 3.01 inches. Soybeans dropping leaves was 62% complete this week, compared to 50% last year and 62% 5-year average. Soybeans harvested was 5% complete, compared to 1% last year and 7% 5-year average. Corn was 52% mature this week, compared to 46% last year and 58% 5-year average. Corn was 8% harvested this week, compared to 4% last year and 13% 5-year average. The weekend storm barely slowed farmers down as corn harvested for grain got underway. The crop continued to dry down from the above-average temperatures and dry weather. Few large corn fields were reported after the severe storm system moved across the state over the weekend. Soybean harvest has also begun to pick up speed. Both corn and soybean stands are at 47% in good to excellent condition. Some farmers have seeded in winter cover crops as corn and beans move off the fields. Seed corn, silage, processing tomato, pumpkin, and cucumber harvest continued while mint and potato harvest approached completion. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 20th, 2015. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Now let's turn our attention, as we do each and every Tuesday, to the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien is with us. He's with K-State, where he serves as an agricultural economist. Dan, thanks for being with us. You sent me a nice PowerPoint that talks about the profitability for the ethanol industry at the plants. I know you take a look at plants in general, but mostly you tune your attention to the Iowa plant that runs just as a virtual plant. Tell me about profitabilities.
Well, at least given the prices through mid-September, it looks like we're in a situation where we're covering costs, but we're almost covering costs, about 2 cents short of that in terms of the operating side of things. cost about $1.41 per gallon of ethanol at a price about $1.40. And again, that can vary around a little bit by plant. So in essence, they're basically at a break-even situation with a tendency towards being on the lower side. And of course, biodiesel has, with the fall off, sharp fall off, I guess, in soybean, well, biodiesel prices, you're outpacing to the downside what was happening in soybean oil on the inputs. They're down about 26 cents per gallon. So tougher times on the biodiesel side. Interesting to watch. You know, a lot of things going on in the market in terms of the probably the biggest story, Todd, is our thoughts now from analysts coming out basically saying that the shortfall we've had in gasoline prices could end up in effect, cause enough of a reduction in that side of the industry that it could come around and affect the blending industry, affect us probably positively later on in terms of ethanol demand to help make up for whatever blending issues or problems there might be in terms of gasoline supply.
Wait, how would that happen? Is it just not enough profitability in a gallon of gasoline so that if they could go to, for instance, E15 or somewhere E85, that's what they try to do because they make more profit on it?
85 would be a far stretch, but it would push us towards the 15 side all that much more. I think what we're seeing is that markets, whether it's grain or energy markets, respond to low prices and low profitability. Well, we've seen pretty sharp cutbacks in the oil industry, and right now, of course, we have low prices, but low prices for gasoline and for oil. But here, the signals are being heated out in the production areas of up in the Bakken. Development in North Dakota, et cetera, cutting back production, all that reduction ends up and has a economic impact on the supply demand balances and on the prices. So, we could be seeing a response to the higher side in terms of some gasoline price move positively, and with that, then you'd see ethanol positively affected as well. So I know it's right now it's not on our radar. We're so used to looking at bad things, bad outcomes in agriculture and in terms of the energy prices and on the grain prices. But in the bigger picture of things, markets and ag producers respond to low profitability signals, and that eventually has its day. Those that cut back in production in the markets and leads us on the way out.
You mentioned that soybean oil was a loser at this point. This, I suppose, despite the RFS or what might be in the RFS, will that change very quickly, do you think? And we only have about 40 seconds left.
Well, right now, I think the biggest issue is we're just overwhelmed with supply, whether it's, particularly on corn, but we anticipate large supplies for soybeans and soybean oil, large processing, and the supply relative to the demand balance is probably going to keep us to the negative side on soybean oil as well as on soybeans.
Dan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University Extension and joins us on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National White Chocolate Day. White chocolate was first introduced in Switzerland a few years after World War I. Production began in 1930 by the Nestle Company. A year later, the M&M Candy Company introduced the U.S. to white chocolate, manufacturing it in New Hampshire. By the way, since 2004, U.S. white chocolate must contain by weight at least 20% cocoa butter. It's also St. Maurice's Day, patron of knife grinders. On this day in agricultural history in 1777, John Bartram died, and American botanist He is considered by many the father of American botany. Bartram established a botanical garden in Philadelphia in 1728, the oldest living botanical garden in the U.S., where many giant trees may still be seen that he planted. In 1877, Victor Shelford was born, an American zoologist and ecologist. He was one of the first to treat ecology as a separate science. And in 1985, the first Farm Aid concert was held at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Willie Nelson, Neil Young, and John Mellencamp organized the first concert to raise awareness about the loss of family farms and to raise funds to keep family farms on their land. The show was put together in 6 weeks and was held before a crowd of 80,000 people and a live television audience. It raised over $9 million for America's family farmers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's a Tuesday afternoon, the 22nd day of September. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. He hails from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, you could just mix and match this one all week long. It looks the same day after day after day. And oh my gosh, it doesn't get better for fall and for harvest season. Can you tell me a bit about the weather and what is responsible?
Well, we are looking at a weather pattern that we talked about at the beginning of the season, where the summer was going to start off cool but have a strong finish in terms of summer getting extended into September. That's what we're seeing, just summer weather here in September that's going to go on a little bit longer. We're seeing some subtle things in the long-range charts that are hinting at some colder weather coming for the U.S. in October, but we're going to be able to go here a couple more weeks with these warm temperatures. One thing that we'll be watching here over the next couple of days is some tropical moisture coming up into the western areas of the Corn Belt. We could see today, tomorrow, and into early Thursday some real heavy rains across portions of Nebraska, far eastern Colorado, some areas of Kansas, the Dakotas, and then maybe moving into western Iowa by later in the week.
And if you turn your attention to other parts of the world, they're beginning in South America at this point to plant, and some of it is already in the ground. They had some cold weather we worried about, but it looks like things are a bit better, as likely that usually happens in the spring.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit deeper into their change of seasons here, which takes place tomorrow, and we're seeing those intrusions of the colder air certainly pulling back some, and really the forecast for South America here, looking ahead over the next week to 10 days, is for temperatures at or even a little bit above normal in many of the key areas of Argentina and Brazil.
Any other place around the planet that you've been watching closely? And I don't know, maybe you could come back to the United States and talk about El Nino and the potential for it to help out with the drought in California or other things that you think are of our interest.
Well, one thing that we're definitely getting more and more confident in is the fact that we are going to have a pretty strong El Nino here. It's going to fall short of the 97-98 El Nino, but it's still going to be a big player this winter, especially across the southern tier of the United States, from central and southern California through the desert southwest, the southern plains, and the southeast United States. Those are the areas that are going to be most wet, while the northern plains, the Pacific Northwest, are going to be suffering with some dryness this winter.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. I do appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Remember, you can find us again if you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org. Most of our agricultural programming goes up there not long after it airs on our radio stations, and you can listen to it anytime you'd like. You can also search iTunes if you'd prefer for both the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Those two programs are in iTunes. Just search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. You can even search for my name for the Will Ag programming from Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon. If you're on the tractor or the combine, be safe. If you're in rural America and driving on the roads, watch out for the tractors and the combines. They move a whole lot slower than you do. I'm Todd Gleason.